1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Hurricane Debbie leaves several deaths, flooding and power outages in Florida. Heading into Georgia, slow moving, expected to flood and rain into Thursday. The Carolinas affected, people in Raleigh prepping.
You gotta go get toilet paper and milk and everything else because nobody has anything at home.
The U.S. investigating an attack by two rockets on the U.S. and coalition Al-Assad airbase in western Iraq. Several injuries, says the Defense Department. Google says it'll appeal a federal judge's decision today that the company illegally muscled its way to dominance in violation of antitrust laws. The Colorado funeral home owners, who allegedly stored 190 decaying bodies, sent grieving families fake ashes, have been ordered by a judge to pay nearly $1 billion to the victims' relatives in a civil case, but the owners have money troubles. After a big Wall Street sell-off and a day after Japan's benchmark Nikkei had a record loss, it's soared now to erase most of it. This is ABC News. A powerful Democrat is denying forcing President Biden to drop his reelection bid.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she was not seeing a campaign that could win, but that she did not organize President Biden's exit from the race.
Other people called me about what their views were about it. But I rarely even returned a call, much less initiated one.
She told ABC that at the end of the day,
winning an election is a decision. You make a decision to win, and you make every decision in favor of winning.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
The European Union announcing that video sharing app TikTok will withdraw a points feature that allowed users to win rewards for using the app. EU regulators said the rewards feature could encourage excessive screen time, particularly among children. A rare event in Buffalo, New York, a tornado touched down in the city this afternoon, ripping roofs off buildings, trees, traffic lights, utility poles down. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Almost Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah, it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is preparing for flooding. More than 3 inches of rain could fall overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning in some parts of the state. A flood watch is in effect for an area stretching from Portage and Columbus southeast to the Milwaukee area. The fate of billions of dollars from Washington to Wisconsin is at stake as voters decide whether to amend the state constitution August 13th. Jason Stein is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
It touches every aspect of our lives, from our roads to our social services to education. And this would have far-reaching and far-lasting effects.
Stein spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront. A no vote would keep the power over spending federal money in Wisconsin with the governor. A yes vote would give that power to the legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Brewers lose in Washington. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Nationals jumped out to a 4-0 lead. Milwaukee scored 3 in the 8th, and that was it. The Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3 on Sunday. Manager Pat Murphy questioned on whether he pulled starter Tobias Myers too soon after just 64 pitches, replaced by Holby Milner, who gave up 3 runs.
I thought we pitched okay. Tobias was not his best, but he was good. and we had a full bullpen. Hobie's been unbelievable for us, and he had some unfortunate luck. I thought everybody else pitched really well.
NFL, the Packers have signed another place kicker. Jonathan Garibay played in the UFL last season, only missing one kick. 2 years ago, he kicked a game-winning field goal for the Dallas Cowboys from 62 yards away. The Badgers held a live tackling session in camp over the weekend.
You guys have to be able to see if they can make some plays. So we challenged ourselves today a little bit going live. But, I mean, there's probably 75 snaps of live ball today.
As Badgers head coach Luke Fickell, practices continue this week at the UW-Platteville campus. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. A flood watch continues tonight. Could see 2 to 3 inches of rain. Severe storms also possible. Rain diminishing overnight. Mostly cloudy and a low close to 60. Clearing for tomorrow. Highs upper 70s. Right now it's 73.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Christina Laurie has some stories about Wisconsin athletes competing in Paris. And Sherita Booker reviews last week's popular social media posts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kudigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Wendy and I are grandparents officially. We can kind of talk about it. The our daughter said we can talk about it now. So, congratulations. More relatives, Haley. Ho-wa.
And the cutest ones, too, I have to say. Congrats, Jelaine and Micah, on your beautiful twins, a daughter and a son. So exciting. And we're just also so grateful and happy for you.
Well, Wendy always said to the girls, the twins, our daughters, that they look like you, but they're cute. And I believe the grandchildren look like them and they're cute. So I think I kind of look a little like them. We got dark hair and one of them has a cleft chin like I do.
Oh, so cute. Yeah. The dark hair, lots of it, too. That runs in the family. Yeah, that's really exciting.
Right.
So that is our exciting news to start out the show with. Unfortunately, something, you know, not so good happened this weekend at a powwow that we should probably touch on. This is a really heartbreaking story. Tom Thunderhawk began his spirit journey yesterday on Sunday due to a shooting he fell victim to on Friday in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, while attending the Ogallala Lakota Nation powwow. You know, these gun violence and killings of any sorts should never happen, let alone happen in a place of ceremony and healing. So our deepest condolences to the family, friends of Tom's, and others in attendance that evening.
Yeah, I agree. Just want to send out comfort prayers, and we're thinking of you and you and your family. And, you know, it's a sad thing.
Hey, we got Dr. Stately on.
Hey, I know that guy. Hey, welcome, Dr. Stately. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. How are you?
Great. We should introduce you officially. You are the CEO, right, of Native Community Clinic here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, the Twin Cities. You are executive director and president of Native American Community Clinic here, and we always love seeing you. The Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and Rodriguez, we were wondering where you were Monday, but we couldn't tell them, so we did the show without you. Ho-wa.
Hopefully you told them I was at Sundance.
No, I thought you were a little, I thought it was anonymous, so I didn't really want to say anything. I just said yes. We gave them the day off today.
Yeah, anonymous ceremony. Ceremonial life.
Yeah. So how are you? How are you doing? I know Haley just brought up some sad news nationally. Yeah. We all have our prayers out there for family and relatives.
Yeah, that is very sad news. And I mean, I don't know. Gosh, that is that's kind of shocking that that would happen at a powwow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's tragic, very tragic.
Yeah.
Prayers for the family and the survivors of the his loved ones. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
The community, of course. It's like the whole community has to be traumatized in that experience, I would imagine.
So. Yeah, I saw the live footage and it was pretty stunning. And us being powwow people, in a lot of sense, I'm not a dancer, but we like to go to powwows and support the dancers in the community. And yeah, it's a sad deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know a whole lot about the incident or the things surrounding it. I learned a little bit about it because I have I think some relatives that were there are from the area.
So checking in, how are things at the clinic? I know there we have a few things to talk about. Saturday for one, Haley, I saw in your great notes you guys are offering some services Saturday, Haley.
Yeah, you guys, NAC, Native American Community Clinic, is going to start offering medical walk-ins on Saturdays. Could you talk a little bit more about that, Dr. Stately?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've not had our Saturday walk-in clinic for a while now. A lot of that was based primarily around capacity post-pandemic, right? So at first, to get back to full capacity, but yes, really excited and really honored to be able to state that we're going to open them back up Saturdays for walk-ins. That's important. It was like it has been something we did for many years up until probably I want to say 2021 maybe, like, you know. We started losing staff for 2022. We had to kind of like put that work off for a while until we kind of staffed back up, but finally able to do that, opening our doors. I believe the hours of are from, I don't remember what the flyer says, but I think it's basically noon, or I think 10, actually, now that I think about it, 10 to 2. So, and No, it's a walk-in clinic, so of course no appointments necessary, just walk in on that morning. I think it's an opportunity for you to get, any acute care that you might need that day. A lot of families sometimes, and folks, especially during the year, we see this more frequently during the year when kids are in school. Kids can't get out of school to see a provider for, like, the typical thing, like a strep test maybe, or some other issue, or people can't leave work. So it's an opportunity for you to get something taken care of that you can't normally get taken care of during the week. So really excited to be able to offer that back to the community again.
Well, Dr. Stately, I want to kind of reverse back to what happens at Native American Community Clinic. I want our people all over Turtle Island that listen to this show know about the clinic. And the clinic, how many people do you serve, do you think, weekly or yearly? I mean, it's a really important entity here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and I just want to let people like outstate that listen to us all over Turtle Island kind of get an overview of how great this clinic is for our community.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So the clinic is a federally qualified healthcare center. We're situated in South Minneapolis along what's called the American Indian Cultural Corridor. That space between sort of, I think, along Franklin Avenue, between 11th Avenue and Cedar. We're a couple blocks from the new, beautiful American Indian Center, right? And all the other organizations that sort of serve the Native community along Franklin Avenue in and around South Minneapolis as well. And we provide comprehensive medical care and health care, which includes primary medicine, primary medical care, everything from like, you know, vaccines and, you know, health assessments and your, you know, your kicking the tires to make sure everything's working okay, all the way to like, you know, chronic health care conditions, diabetes, heart issues, all kinds of things. We have a mental health clinic that provides outpatient mental health services, and also two outpatient substance abuse treatment programs, which includes a Suboxone dosing clinic. And then we have a very robust traditional healing program and a dental operation as well.
Wow. Well, we'll talk more, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about Sundance and what we can talk about here on Native Roots Radio, but how great that is for people to go there and people are interested. We're with Dr. Stately, and we'll be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You can't have too much pride, so don't miss one of the best rural pride events in the country at Fargo-Moorhead Pride, August 8th through the 11th. There are tons of activities, including a dance party, family fun night, a 5K fun run, block party, and a pride parade. In a little more than 3 hours, you can be in Fargo for 4 days of pride, including Pride in the Park, a trivia and karaoke event, and a youth pride all ages drag show. Folks visit from all over the three-state area and Canada. Visit fmpride.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, and we're here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and just talking about some things there, some exciting stuff, reopenings almost, a lot of things still slowly coming back to normal from COVID, and some never will. So it's an interesting time we live in. Dr. Stately, we know you were at Sundance, and I don't know, me only being a helper at Sundance a few times, I know there's, it's a very sacred thing, but it's also a rejuvenating thing for the members that show up and are in deeply in prayer and Sundance.
Oh yeah. I went to, this is my first time being at the Sundance. It was in just outside of Rosebud. I was on the Rosebud Reservation actually in South Dakota. And I hadn't been there really ever. I think I was, I mean, I had been there as a child because I went to boarding school in Chamberlain, South Dakota. And, you know, we would go to those reservation communities when I was a boy for basketball games and such. But it was my first time being at Rosebud as an adult. This is really beautiful. I had forgotten how gorgeous it was there. And the setting was really beautiful, and I went to support my three nephews who were sun dancing. My one nephew that was danced for the first time this year, my nephew Ruben, who also incidentally, by the way, just shout out to my nephew Ruben. He was given a provisional invitation to join the Minneapolis Fire Department. He has to pass some tests and such, but he graduated from EMT school and he passed the national test for EMT. And then he also is on his way to becoming a Minneapolis firefighter. So I'm pretty proud of him. But I could have never been more proud of him than when I saw him dancing at the Sundance. He, you know, the other thing that was just like, I had this moment when I was, you know, towards the end of the Sundance on Saturday, folks are piercing and they're, you know, they're giving their flesh offerings and, you know, and the like, them kind of, you know, giving up their prayers and their offerings on that day. And it's a healing day as well. And I had this moment where I was like dancing along, you know, dancing in the arbor and supporting them by dancing alongside them or behind them while they're dancing and piercing and breaking from the tree. And I just, you know, none of my actual relatives were at the moment in time having, you know, doing their piercing or breaking from the tree, but my nephews anyway. And I had this moment where I was just like looking up at the tree and I was, you know, in a very prayerful moment myself and just being really grateful that I was able to be in that space and thinking about all of the things that I do in my personal life and my professional life and the work I do for my community and just all the suffering and the challenges and all of the scale of the work that we have to do in our community, and just laying out prayers for all of my relatives here that live in the Twin Cities where I work. And I just was overwhelmed by the beauty in the moment, and I just started to like, cry. I think that's the thing that you know, it was just really remarkable about the experience. You just feel so incredibly grateful to be in that space. You'd be, you know, I mean, I was looking around and I was watching everybody, and you know, you have little tiny ones from like 6 or 7 years old in the circle, all the way up to like, you know, these amazingly, you know, elder grandmas and grandpas out there dancing, you know, in 100 degree heat, right? And
right.
And I was just thinking, oh my God, this is a good representation and a metaphor for like who we are as Indigenous people. We give of ourselves so that the people can live. We sacrifice our own blood, sweat, and tears so that other people can have health and well-being. We take care of one another in that whole entire space. Like it's a good representation of like exactly what we have to do as Indigenous people, or how we live and how we take care of ourselves and how we embody our values, our Indigenous values of being a good relative and taking care of one another and taking care of that Hoja Ka, that center. And it was just a really beautiful experience. I loved it. I was like, I can't wait to go back. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'll wait till next year.
Yeah.
1 week of being in the heat is a little bit much, but it was just an amazing experience, right? And it was really wonderful to support my nephews who were dancing, my four nephews. So,
were the
family, and you know, you're eating good food. You know,
were the Henry brothers there?
The Henry brothers are there. The Henry boys.
Yeah, so proud of those guys.
They're so remarkable.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and my friend Barry Hand really
Barry
helped.
Barry Hand was there.
Yeah. And he really helped lead these kids on as the youngins, and they've really taken off as singers, dancers, and in the community. I'm just so proud to know them.
Yeah. And then the last day I was there on Sunday, we stayed until Monday, and then we got to take a little bit of a tour of the tribal college there, which has been around for 53 years, I think, 53, 54 years, something like that. One of the first tribal colleges, and it was like just amazing. The community is beautiful. The people are lovely. My niece's partner's mother made us all breakfast before we hit the road, and so it was nice. It was a long day for me though, because I traveled up to Crow Creek, just a neighbor reservation on the other side of I-90, and went up there to see my son's grandmother and her and their family, say hi to some people there, and then got home about midnight or so.
Powerful.
It was powerful. Lovely. So.
Well, we've missed you, and a lot's happened since, and rumor has it that you might be a vice president candidate here. Is Kamala?
That I might be. Well, I was on the short list, and I just, I politely said no, thank you. I have a thing I'm trying to accomplish here in the Twin Cities, but I know the American people need me, but I have community support. But thank you so much.
Well, how exciting
is
that?
You know who is on the short list is our governor, Minnesota governor. Tim Walz, which is really exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really exciting about that, because I was talking with somebody about this. I was talking with my son about this the other day. I was driving him to see a movie with his girlfriend. And I said, hey, we're talking about, he brought up Kamala Harris being the presidential nominee. And he was like remarking about how amazing that was. And I said, yeah, what else is amazing? I said, there's a very good likelihood that she could pick Tim Walz, our governor, to be her running mate. And if they get in, if she picks him and they get elected, then you know what that means? And he goes, what? I said, that means our relative, Peggy Flanagan, or your tribal member, will ascend to the governor's position. I said, and that would be an amazing, amazing thing, because it would be the first time in history that a Native American female was in a governor position in the United States. And that, my son, I never thought I would ever see in my lifetime. So there's you're watching history unfold before your very eyes here, son. He's like, does that mean I don't have to go to history class? I'm like, no, that's not what that means.
Good answer. good question. Wow. That reminds me.
You still have to go to history class. But, you're watching history unfold before your very eyes, because I would have never thought what is it like almost, I'm 62. So almost 54 or 44 years ago, I had the first opportunity, or 46 years ago, I had the first opportunity to vote. Right. I would have never, ever thought that, I would see an opportunity to see a female Black president.
Right.
Be at the helm of the United States. I said, you were just a brand new baby when President Barack Obama was elected. I remember dancing in the streets in Seattle when you were just a little tiny baby. I left you home with people while I danced in the street. But I said, I remember being a young man when Geraldine Ford was on the ticket.
That's right.
These are things that I never, ever, ever thought that I would see, because I just thought, America, for as progressive as we think of ourselves, there have been female presidents and female leaders all around the world in developed countries for decades now. Like, it's high time we step into this space. And, and then I said, by the way, look around you. You can see what men have achieved. So give some women some chance. Here.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Good call. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks so much for stopping in. We've missed you, and we'll see you around on the avenue. And I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you come on our show. It's always great to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you too. Have a good evening.
Take care.
You too.
Be well, everyone. Bye.
Right on.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Hurricane Debbie leaves several deaths, flooding, and power outages in Florida. Heading into Georgia, slow moving, expected to flood and rain into Thursday. The Carolinas affected, people in Raleigh prepping.
You got to go get toilet paper and milk and everything else because nobody has anything at home.
The U.S. investigating an attack by two rockets on the U.S. and coalition Al-Assad air base in western Iraq. Several injuries, says the Defense Department. Google says it'll appeal a federal judge's decision today that the company illegally muscled its way to dominance in violation of antitrust laws. The Colorado funeral home owners, who allegedly stored 190 decaying bodies, sent grieving families fake ashes, have been ordered by a judge to pay nearly $1 billion to the victims' relatives in a civil case, but the owners have money troubles. After a big Wall Street sell-off and a day after Japan's benchmark Nikkei had a record loss, it's soared now to erase most of it. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The lawyer for Devontae Mitchell's family says an autopsy shows he died at the hands of four hotel employees in downtown Milwaukee June 30th. Mitchell was held down by four Hyatt employees after an incident at the hotel. Police recommend felony murder charges, but prosecutors said they were waiting for autopsy results before making a decision. Violent crime trends are going down in Milwaukee. The same is true nationwide. Advocates say the trends are encouraging, but the data is limited.
Homicide is influenced by a lot of local factors. In fact, we know that most violence can be isolated to specific neighborhoods within a city, so that it's essential for leaders to take time to analyze and fully understand local crime patterns.
Ernesto Lopez is with the Council on Criminal Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez divorce has been injected with some actual Hollywood-style drama. According to Suge Knight, illicit videos of Lopez were found when the FBI raided Sean Diddy Combs' properties a few months ago. The former Death Row CEO claims the FBI gave the videos to Affleck as a solid to prepare him in case the videos potentially went public. Knight is apparently basing this all on the timing of the issues between Affleck and Lopez. Combs has been accused of crimes ranging from sex trafficking to sexual assault. What are the effects of divorce? For a middle-aged man? For Ben Affleck, he sought counsel from his ex-wife Jennifer Garner, who eventually had to excuse herself from being her ex's therapist. Affleck is also rocking a faux hawk like Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. This all comes as TMZ reports that Affleck and Lopez are not speaking to each other. In the meantime, Ben Affleck will presumably be on the lookout for a new girl named Jen while looking like Travis Bickle. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. A flood watch continues tonight. Could see 2 to 3 inches of rain. Severe storms also possible. Rain diminishing overnight. Mostly cloudy and a low close to 60. Clearing for tomorrow. Highs upper 70s. It's 71 right now.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to Landfall Cunnamawag.
I met Kamala, and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devils Advocates radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his crow. Tune in, Devils.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, we might have to change that bumper soon from Lieutenant Governor Flanagan to Governor Flanagan.
Hey, we can hope.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, before we get to our guests, just give me a quick rundown of All My Relations' newest gallery exhibit. I know you were there holding down the fort for Native Roots Radio.
I was there. I was, very fortunate enough to get a media invite on Friday before the opening on Saturday. And wow, I just got to say, Jay White, you are a very, very talented artist. It was so great to meet you and talk about your newest exhibit, Arikara Proper, at All My Relations Arts Gallery in Minneapolis. I suggest that everyone go out and see that at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Thank you, Haley. I will be going there probably Thursday. Hey, we have our friends back from the Minneapolis Parks and Rec Board members, and Carrie, Emma, and Carrie. It's the Carrie, Emma, and Carrie show. Welcome back. Good to see you guys.
Thanks for having us again. We're really excited to be here.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's you?
Ho-wa. Hey, I'm a Choka now. I just got some first round of grandchildren, a boy and a girl, and so I'm a little off here. I didn't get my nap in, probably because
I don't want my people to feel like things are being pushed or shoved or moved in a certain way, and the guidance and direction that I've been able to give the park board has been well received. I've not had any pushback on any of the directions that we've gone. We've always worked so collaboratively. I have to say, being able to work with Carrie Christensen in this Indigenous Reconciliation Action Plan work, where there is 11 focus areas here, so it's a really broad scope of work, as well as on the groundwork with Emma. We did a fantastic, so much fun event at East Phillips and Cedar Field around our master planning. And that was, I haven't seen that many people together having fun, not worrying about crime, and just literally kids everywhere. We hosted a bingo. It was phenomenal. It was just great. And now I get to take the time and work with these two, and hopefully with our get some input from our Indigenous Parks Council that we seated this quarter as well, on what they want to highlight and present. Like I said, there's been action in all focus areas. I mean, so we're firing on all cylinders right now, and there's so much to share in each area. But what I can say is the tone, the welcome, and the acceptance of who we are as Indigenous people, recognizing and acknowledging our history. We also did the Why Treaties Matter at our headquarters. Really well received. People from the community were coming in, and just awesome stuff. A lot of stuff.
Well, Emma, you know, part of the deal is, I think, you know, Carrie is educating people, because a lot of us were not brought up in public schools or any schools about the history. And so it's exciting to see this kind of thing happening with the Parks and Recs Board.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I'll invite Carrie Christensen if she wants to say anything more about the reconciliation work. I will just note what Carrie Day mentioned. We did just host our event on July 16th at East Phillips. We had one event at Cedar Field, and then we went over to East Phillips Park. And this month, we're now going to be working in partnership with NACDI to host some conversation circles around the parks. We'll also be showing up in the community, both at the parks and around, talking to some folks, and then we're going to be pivoting to some design work. So just wanted to give a quick update about kind of where we're at with the East Phillips planning process.
Well, I just want to jump in there really quick and say the fashion in which they are doing engagement is different. Our elders are so appreciative, you know, especially at Little Earth. They're like, are you going to research us again? Are you going to survey us again? We've been through this a million times. We don't want to do that. That's, you know, so, and we came in with a whole different way of engaging folks. It really was, the kids were just phenomenal. We had a dunk tank, the police. We had a really good community event. It was awesome.
Right on. Well, Carrie Christensen, I was trying to do Carrie Day, Emma Carrie, but now I'm going to go, I'm going to hand it over to you. Now I'll go Carrie, Carrie. So what do you have to say there, Carrie?
Well, with education, I'll just underline what Carrie Day said. So we did host the Why Treaties Matter exhibit at Park Board headquarters for a month. Thank you to the Humanities Center and all of their partners for that amazing community resource. It's free of charge for other agencies or organizations that might want to host it in a public space. They ask that you also put on some kind of public events or other educational events. And so a few of the things that we had was chats with Carrie Day. And as she mentioned, she's our first ever Indigenous Parks liaison. And I think that, you know, I feel like those chats are a really good example of the way that it's not just about information sharing, but there's a culture of just kind of slowing down for an hour and hanging out with Carrie Day and talking about the exhibit rather than sitting up there as experts in some panel. I think it's not only the information, but it's the mode of knowledge sharing. We had mentioned on the last show, and thanks again for having us here today. We're working on a training with our commissioners. As you may have heard, the Park Board has been working through a strike situation, and we're so glad to say that's been resolved and agreement has been met with our colleagues in the labor union. And we're really glad that everyone is back at work and we've found a path forward for that. It did put me in some delays for some of our work though. So we had a training planned with our commissioners that we postponed, planned to reignite that hopefully and hold it in September, when we're actually hosting a circle with, Dakota leaders and elders and knowledge keepers, with our elected officials. So there's 9 Park Board elected officials, and they'll sit in circle together for several hours and have conversation around past, present, and future of Indigenous Minneapolis and the park system and connections to this land. So different ways, again, like modes and content, I think, that are really coming through in all sorts of varieties of ways this year and moving forward as well.
Well, I'm totally excited, and I can see you guys are excited. That, you know, I just got to tell you, I just picked out my new MMIW license plate, and it says LANDBK, which means parks back. No, I mean land back. And so we're excited to hear all the great things that you're doing, Emma. And just the education, you guys, I'm just saying that this is like a huge thing. People learning about Dakota, Lakota that have been here for 10,000 years and the other tribes. This is the Dakota land and we all recognize that. And it's just great to have that conversation.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert. Actually, you reminded me of one thing that I'll just note from our engagement around the park, something that's been coming up loud and clear, both with Native folks, but also with non-Native folks, is this idea of indigenizing the parks at Cedar Field and East Phillips Park. So that can look a lot of different ways. That might be some, we've heard ideas for signage, for games, for artwork, for the types of amenities that we offer. But we're really excited about, as we pivot to design, thinking about how we can indigenize and center Native voices in these park designs at East Phillips.
That's awesome. And really grateful. And, you know, we just had over here in St. Paul, we just had a where the Ford plant used to be, and there's housing there, and there's four parks there. It's amazing. And two of them are Dakota name parks. And it's just cool. I mean, we were talking earlier with Dr. Stately, and I just, as a 63-year-old, I would have never thought any of this would ever happen. So I'm kind of like, wow, the future's looking bright there, Carrie Day.
It's exciting work, and to do it in our own way. Nobody's pushing us. Nobody's putting surveys down our throat or trying to research or pull our hair or do any of that stuff. I mean, Emma talked about some of the enhancements that are, you know, possible. I've heard a lot about the environment. Can we have sweet grass? Can we have patches? Can we have medicine gardens? Is there room, you know, for more cedar trees? Is there room for more trees? I mean, and again, I feel like we've really had a lot of good input from the elders, and then having these two big events just solidified everything that they said. So I think that our community is ready for this. We're excited, and we've really made I've introduced my two newest relatives, Carrie Christensen and Emma, to the community. So now we've got a couple new aunties in the neighborhood.
Right on. Get those ribbon skirts going. Right on. Hey, we are really excited and can feel the energy. We're hanging out with the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board members, Carrie Day, Emma, and Carrie. We'll be right back after this short break. Ho-wa!
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Back to school is just around the corner, and Seward Co-op is here to help get students of any age stocked up with affordable organic options, specialty snacks, and meals from the hot bar for nights when you don't want to cook. Whether you need coffee to get your school drop-off going or just need a place to study, Seward Co-op has you covered this school year. Learn more at seward.coop. That's seward.coop.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain, and we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at chambaudfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Wow, that was a good one. Let's do that again, Haley.
We've been waiting for that.
Wolves.
Let's do it again, Haley.
The whole thing?
No, just the last part.
Howling for wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl.
Well, hey, that was awesome. We'll have to use that as a bumper. Hey, we are here with the Minneapolis Park and Rec board members, Carrie and Emma and Carrie. Carrie Christensen, this is just exciting. I don't know. I'm at a point right now just to say, spitball whatever you want. This is like your platform right now, and we're just really totally excited about this partnership. And we can tell by our Carrie Day how well things are going.
Well, thank you. Thank you again. So nice to be here. So yeah, a couple things cooking for us at the Park Board is over the last year, we've been looking at different policies and paying attention to what policies inside our system that are currently in place that might get little tweaks to better represent Native or Indigenous rights perspectives, narrative. And so there's a few that have bubbled up to the top that are actually due for updates. And we're now bringing those to Carrie Day mentioned that we have a newly formed Native Parks Council and advising us on all things Park Board. And so there's a few, the policies that we're bringing to them in the next couple of months include a naming policy, which we currently have a naming policy at the Park Board again, but it's due for an update. And so it's a great time bringing it to the council to say, how do we best move through naming processes that were either community or bring forward ideas that have Indigenous language rooted in them, or if it's a sites of significance, how do we integrate that? What kind of policy and procedure do we need to support those processes so that we as a park system can just follow the procedure that both our council and then also we would take that those policy updates to tribal councils to make sure that we're working in alignment with what they think is the right process for another government to be following in accordance with naming or renaming or reclaiming of names, which is sometimes the way I think of the Bidet-Makaska renaming that happened a few years ago, which was community driven and did move all the way through park board process and then even had to move through DNR, Department of Natural Resource processes at the state level because it's a body of water. So that's one example. We've also got a tobacco policy that's being updated where we might be able to make recommendations around ceremonial uses of tobacco in parks. So just to name a few, there's also just the idea of a consultation policy, which is something that's really important for state and federal governments, certainly to have as they work on government-to-government relations. But for municipalities or city-scale governments, it's not quite as common. So it's something we're looking into at the Park Board. Very interested in collaborating with other municipal or local government agencies that have done creative policies like that. Again, so that we have really clear direction on what tribal governments think we need to be doing in terms of consultation with decisions. So just a few little examples of how the actions are kind of moving also inward in policy. And there's some real power in shifting those policies, even in small ways, in addition to creating new policies to support this work on an ongoing basis.
Well, I can see the joy out of all three of you. Emma, what else would you like to spitball to our people here? Because you remember, these segments go really fast.
Yeah, I was just going to note what Carrie mentioned about a lot of the policy work that's happening, something that's been exciting about the timing for the park planning work in East Phillips with Carrie Day is that, you know, we're really in charge of helping to kind of think about the design and the improvements of the parks. But we are hearing a lot of interest in changing some of our policies, like tobacco for ceremonial purposes, changing names. And so something that's exciting is that we're not, like, that feedback sometimes needs to sit on the side until we're ready to do something with that. And we're actually kind of passing that input over to the Carries so that it can inform some of that high level policy work right now. So we're working at a lot of different levels, which is really exciting. And we don't always, that synergy isn't always there with all of our projects. So yeah, it's just very exciting. Carrie Day, I don't know if you wanna mention anything else. Carrie Day is kind of working between two worlds with the reconciliation of the Indigenous Action Plan work and then the on the ground East Phillips work. She gets to kind of see it all.
Well, I wanna ask Carrie too, did you ever think that you would see a day like this? You know, we talked earlier about the vice president running for president. I'm 63 and I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. And the work that you're doing with Minneapolis Parks Rec, I would have never thought it.
Yeah, there was a day when all I could do was look at the wrought iron fences because Dad said, nope, that don't belong to us over there. We can't go over there. That's why they put those fences up like that. Today, we can walk right down to the river and have access through park, across park areas, let's say that. Those traditional Dakota Territory areas are so important to our history, to our culture, to who we are, not just Dakota, but even our urban and our Anishinaabe relatives as well, to have that access. And it's exciting. I am so pleased with how this is going, the input that we've been receiving from the community. You know, you snuck that word in there, land back. Not such a bad word. I mean, it's not a bad word, and we're not going to run away from it. I mean, we've had some discussions with community members who bring it up, and we just have to be realistic about it and, you know, talk in a good way, be a good relative. Let's see what we can do. These are discussions, as you said, that, you know, we should be having. We're ready to have discussions. And so I think that the work is moving along well. There'll be bumps. I'm not sure where, but they'll be there and we'll be ready for them. Because again, I think that the community was ready for the park board to get back out into listening to us and hearing what we think and feel. The upcoming policy changes are just significant. Everything has a place. And the, you know, as we as Indigenous people were moving across this territory, the way things looked and the things that would help our relatives who were coming behind us recognize this place. I mean, I talked about Sibley Field, I think, Sibley Park last time, in the bowl-shaped indentation in the fields, and how, you know, we recognize what that looks like and that we don't name things for people. Same thing with that tobacco policy. I, you know, again, we would never think that we couldn't offer our tobacco. And so that's really significant. Even little kids do that. I mean, they're teaching them in other places, and the park is so open, they should feel okay and not have to look over their shoulder to say, oh, is that okay if I do that now? So again, I think there's some really good direction on this. The consultation policy is really going to help quite a bit, because I want to make sure that we are offering the opportunity to have these conversations, that we really listen, acknowledge, and take action. And I think that we're set up in our process and our plan, if you would, our action plan, I think covers a good part of that. And we did a lot of that in partnership with many tribal members. So I'm pleased with how this is going. I can't wait for Old Wamni Festival.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun too. It'll be different. They asked me to help. So look out. It's going to be different.
Well, just so long you get me a free t-shirt, Carrie,
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime.